And to open up the discussion, we do have with us in the studio, I'm very pleased to say, Chief Medical Officer of Western Australia. Congratulations to you, and spokesperson for Donate Life, Dr. Simon Taylor. First
good
of all,
afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good to have you here. Simon, with this appointment now as Chief Medical Officer for WA, that's pretty heavy going for you.
It's got a fair bit to do, and there's a fair bit going on. As you know, the health systems have been under a bit of pressure with COVID. So a lot going on at the moment to try and improve hospital services and really work together on putting things in place that can help the community. Challenging at the moment, we're still working with the challenges of, we had a lot of reduced immigration, we're still trying to work with the health workforce. But some good news in the last few weeks, we've had some new Irish junior doctors come and join us.
I've heard that.
And other people are working on getting other practitioners to help out. So we hope that's all going to be pretty positive.
We've learned a lot, haven't we?
Certainly have.
We've got to be prepared for the what ifs, I think.
Well, I think, in terms of the conversation for today, I mean, people perhaps don't realise that during COVID, we had a 20% reduction in organ donation rates.
Yes.
And that has had a substantial impact on people waiting for transplantation.
Are we looking at transplants to patients here in Australia?
Yes, this is Australia. All the Australians. So we're part of the National Donate Life Network. We now manage the whole pathway of organ donation to transplantation on a national basis. So there are agencies in the other jurisdictions like Donate Life in WA.
Yeah.
And we are now seeing a lot more donated organs being transferred because we've now got the technology to match the organ to the best recipient, which is really what it's all about, getting great outcomes for the recipient at the end after the extremely generous donation by families in support of a
patient. Can I ask you from a medical point of view, how are you now able to match up the ideal cross?
So we've got much better technology in terms of understanding tissue matching. We've got better data systems so we can store that so it's readily accessible at the time you're making a decision to match a donor organ to a recipient, and the systems are now much more responsive. I mean, obviously there's an important element. The organ that's being donated can't be out of the donor body for a long periods of time. Mm-hmm. So having these systems work reliably has been excellent. And we've seen a number of transplant recipients, particularly kidney transplant recipients in WA, who've been waiting 8 to 10 years, have been successfully matched in the last 15 months with this.
Because of the improved system.
Improved systems.
That's great.
And a conversation amongst kidney doctors about the recognition that although we largely direct donations in our own state to recipients in our own state, the long-term outcomes are best supported by the person getting the right donor organ.
Yes, seemingly that is the case. What a great breakthrough that is.
It is a great breakthrough, and WA was an important part of that.
Well, tell you what, medically, they're moving ahead in all sorts of areas with trials, aren't they? With Alzheimer's and everything at the moment we've been speaking about. With at any given time, do you have an idea of how many people wait for a transplant?
So at the moment it's about 1,750 people in Australia on the wait list.
Goodness.
The bulk of those are kidney patients waiting for a transplant. Obviously, if you're on dialysis, you can be looked after.
Yeah.
But transplantation is the goal. The quality of life is better. And sadly, the number of people on dialysis continues to increase as our population grows. Chronic diseases are associated with disease of the kidney. So this remains an important activity. I mean, the demand is not going to go away. There's some good stories in this in one sense, in that healthcare is improving. And so the number of available donors is actually getting smaller on a population base because you've heard of the great stroke interventions we've got now, very clever heart interventions, the kind of conditions, improve road safety. Those major groups of human beings who get in trouble and whose lives are then at risk from their disease or their trauma, we're seeing those reducing slowly because of great public health initiatives, better health care, but at the same time, the need is increasing.
Yeah.
And sadly, although I think Australians are extremely generous, in only 58% of cases on average nationally where there is a person in that rare group who could be a donor, our families actually giving consent. So that's why we think this is a really important conversation.
Oh, it certainly is. You mentioned the kidneys being quite prevalent is the organ that is required.
Yeah.
Is there any particular reason that the kidneys are under attack?
Oh, I think we know that in our society that some of the diseases of the blood vessels, diabetes, they're all conditions that attack the kidney. Okay. People are living longer. We're now offering transplants to people who are a little older. So we're seeing increased numbers. And sadly, particularly our Aboriginal population is vulnerable to kidney disease.
Because of diabetes.
Mm. Some other health, you know, approaches. But sadly, the kidney failure rate amongst our First Nations, Australian Aboriginal people, is a number of times greater than the rest of the community.
So with so many on the wait list, they're kept alive, like I said, with dialysis, which is a good thing. But emotionally, it must be very trying for everybody and their families.
It's very trying. Yeah. It's very expensive.
Yeah.
People's quality of life is not as good as a successful kidney transplant. But at the same time, not all patients with kidney failure and dialysis are suitable to have a transplant.
Oh, okay.
So we have a process. The kidney doctors, our renal physicians, assess all the patients and list the patients for whom transplant is a legitimate treatment option. And for those people, the outcomes are much improved in terms of quality of life.
So the people that aren't ideal to have a transplant or as a recipient, they would perhaps stay on dialysis, forever.
Yeah, and the expectation for those people continues to get better. I recently met a 91-year-old on dialysis while I was visiting Queensland.
Goodness.
So it's become part of
their
the
life.
Treatment options.
What about other organs within the body? I mean, we've heard of Dr. Christian Barnard, of course, the first heart transplant.
Yeah, so I've been a clinician in intensive care in WA for the last 32 years, worked at Royal Perth and then Fiona Stanley, where we've developed and now is the home of the heart and lung transplant programs. So they're as active as they can be. We have a liver transplant program based at Charles Gairdner. Kidney transplants are conducted at Charles Gairdner, Royal Perth and Fiona Stanley. But remember, there's also tissue donation, corneas, the donation of skeletal tissue is very important for some of the orthopaedic surgery. So it's not just about organ donation, it's also about tissue donation.
What about the criteria for people to become a donor?
So anybody can register on the organ donor registry if they're over 16 years of age.
Okay.
Then we have a process later on if they ever happen to be the person who finds themselves in a situation where they may become a donor. And just to remind the audience that of all the people who die in hospitals, and it's only in hospitals that you can be an organ donor, less than 2% of patients are potential donors. We're dealing with a very small pool.
Mm.
So last year in WA, we had 46 organ donors. That transformed the lives of more people. In Australia, over 1,700 people that benefited last year from organ donation across the country where there were 1,200 donors.
So is it because it's the lack of registration that you're getting nowhere near what you would like to?
It's a really interesting discussion.
Yeah.
We know that if you go and ask the community, the view from the community that we hear back is that over 75% of people are, in terms of their own position, prepared to consider being an organ donor if that were to be the tragedy. What we know, though, is that the law in this state, under the Human Tissue and Transplant Act, get to a bit of legislation, actually requires that the family's next of kin give consent for the donation process if the circumstances arise where that conversation is being held. And I think there's still some reticence of families to give consent. And what we notice is that even for people who've registered themselves on the registry, the Australian Organ Donor Registry, haven't always spoken to the family about it.
Yeah.
So there's uncertainty. And what we know now is if you're on the registry and you've spoken to your family, the family will give consent in over 90% of cases.
And they haven't necessarily been told by the person
that's registered. They may not have been told, but we do know that if you get the double where the person's registered and the family knows, the consent rate is very much high. It slips if the family's not informed.
Yeah, good point.
And even lower if the person hasn't themselves registered with the registry.
It boils down to facing lifespan.
Well, we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
I was in here recently talking about other aspects of end-of-life care. Making preemptive decisions, challenging. We've just released the new Advanced Health Directive Register document in Western Australia. We've been talking to people about thinking about getting your wishes down so everybody else knows what you would want.
Yeah.
And in my 32 years as an intensive care doctor, I'm really pleased to see that compared to when I started, the organ donation conversation would be a little bit difficult. We didn't want to introduce it. So often now the family raise it.
Yeah, they do.
But remember also, if you're convinced you don't want to be a donor, then you can register that on the donor registry as well. And that makes things clear, makes the conversation a bit
but
more
But if you haven't registered, surely no one else can make that decision to have your organs donated.
No, all I'm saying is that if you were very convinced, and we've had a patient recently, that you don't want to be a donor,
right,
then you can actually register a no, as well as a yes on the registry.
Okay. But that, but there's no way without their consent written that they could have.
You cannot retrieve organs surgically in any person where the next of kin does not give consent, and the doctor who signs off on that process first has to be convinced that individual was not opposed during their life.
When the time comes, sadly, for members of the family and the person that's passed away, what's the time frame for you to physically take out that procedure?
Sure. So people who become organ donors fall into two categories. Some people may have heard of what we call brain death donation, which is where there's been an irretrievable damage to the brain. The person's in the ICU, still on a ventilator, still being supported. There's a series of tests and investigations which can confirm the brain is no longer functioning. We call that brain death. And in those circumstances, the patient can be supported until we've gone through all the processes, the assessment and the consent, and then the surgical retrieval procedure, which is done with great sensitivity and dignity, can go ahead really at a particular time, which allows us then to ensure everything is in place for the process.
So the transportation to
transportation,
the recipient?
Organising the recipient to be ready, organising the surgical teams, potentially organising aeroplane transfers to transfer organs to other jurisdictions.
Are they on standby?
We try to get them all organised. Yeah. Recently in Western Australia, we've had three heart recipients from hearts donated in the eastern states with a new technique where the heart is perfused in a box during the transfer, which has meant that now Western Australians who couldn't before get access to a donated heart are actually now more able to do so.
So it's a matter of hours.
It's a matter of hours. So for the heart, 6 hours, but with this perfusion system, a little longer. Usually for the liver, about 12, and for kidneys, about 24 hours.
So what about the other end of the scale as far as age goes? Over 16, what about somebody in their 70s, for example?
So anybody can register on the organ donor registry. We know that transplanters don't tend to use organs from older people. Mm. We have nominal age cutoffs at around 75. But there have been some successful transplants from donors who were healthy beyond 75.
Goodness, I don't
know
of anyone.
So in each case, well, obviously for very young people, we don't put in old organs. But
good point.
There are some older recipients who are very happy to receive an organ from a healthy person.
So their organs, as far as you're concerned, are healthy and
they're all assessed.
For young, I suppose.
They're functioning
so
well.
Young, yeah.
They're not diseased in a way that would not benefit the recipient. Sometimes recipients are in a bit of a crisis, particularly if you can't live without your liver for very long. You can't live without your heart for very long. Mm. Sometimes the organs are to support a patient, while perhaps in the future a younger donor is available. But these do help people to survive.
It's like a temporary situation
great
sometimes.
Outcomes. And in every case, the transplant recipient is aware of these issues in the decision to accept the organ.
For those people waiting for a transplant, I mean, you must feel their emotions, just waiting
Absolutely.
For that call. And so they'd have to be available to take that call at any given
All
time.
All the time. They carry a pager. They have to be available. Obviously, circumstances may be that they're not available at the time the first offer comes, and then you'll offer it to somebody else.
Oh, my goodness.
But on the whole, somebody who's active on a waiting list for transplantation will make themselves available pretty quickly.
They've got a bag packed ready to
go. And when you hear the stories from people who've been transplant recipients, they all talk about that moment when the pager rings, and they all talk about the flurry of activity that comes after it.
Excited.
But they also talk about the way their lives have changed.
How do they recuperate after they've had the transplant?
Obviously, it depends a bit on how unwell they were at the start.
Yep.
Some transplants are very straightforward now. A lot of patients having kidney transplantation are not in hospital for very long at all.
Do you carry these out yourself?
No, I support people who've had transplants, so I've been an ICU doctor.
How do they feel knowing they're carrying someone else's organ?
I think you'd have to ask them. I think their stories have been different from person to person. All of them feel unbelievably grateful. And through the Donate Life Agency, we allow for an exchange of correspondence anonymously between donors and recipients. And when you see those letters, transplant recipients are extremely grateful.
I've seen vision of parents of a son or daughter that have passed away that's given their heart to someone else and to go up and touch it.
Yep. So that's very much a choice for the recipient.
That's
we respect
good.
The person's choice potentially not to know that.
Just needs to be spoken about more often, doesn't it?
Does indeed.
And
so we're just coming up to Saffron Day, which I think is a very special occasion.
What is that?
Saffron Day is on the 22nd of October.
Yeah.
Saffron Day was developed by an Indian community in Sydney where they had a young boy, Dion. They were on holiday in India. There was a truck crash and Dion was injured and then eventually became a donor in India. Four people benefited. But Dion had heard at school about organ donation and said, if that ever happened to me, I'd be happy to be a donor. So the community in Sydney, Saffron Group, now promote organ donation. And each year, because Dion really liked bright orange, we have Saffron Day on the 22nd of October. And really just acknowledge that young people understand. Okay. And I met last week with a community group, lots of kids there, and we talked a lot about organ donation.
What's going to happen here on that day, just to talk about it?
A number of things will go on. There'll be a national program through the Saffron Group. OTA, the Organ and Tissue Authority, will have online materials.
Yeah.
We're meeting with a couple of community groups. And, in fact, the function on the weekend was our first one in the lead-up to this period around the 22nd of October.
If people now wish to register.
Yes.
And they're thinking about it, maybe discuss it even more, but do so.
They need this thing, which is their Medicare card.
Medicare card, yeah.
If you've got your Medicare card, you simply go to a website.
Yeah, which is?
Donatelife.gov.au.
.gov.au.
And that the very first thing that comes up is ask you whether you want to register. All you need to register is that Medicare number, because that's how it knows your identity.
And that information gets distributed.
No, it stays on the register.
Yep.
Which is accessible by any of the organ donation agencies.
Yep.
So if the circumstance arises,
yep.
we can ask the registry whether this person had registered in the past.
So donatelife.gov.wa.au?
No, donatelife.gov.au.
Yep. Perfect. So national. Okay, we've got a quick call before
Please
we go
do.
To a break. Jean, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Jen. How are you?
Good, thank you, Jean.
Hello.
That's good. I wanted to mention that my friend gave her husband a kidney.
Yes.
He had amyloid.
Yes.
And he was very sick for quite a while. And we were all very shocked when she was able to give him a kidney.
Yes, so we haven't talked about live donation this afternoon, which is the other side of the organ donation story. And thank you so much for raising the issue. Live donation is courageous activity on the part of the family. Sadly, not always are family members able to match enough to get a good outcome, but where it can occur, and we often have this thing called paired kidney exchange, where often the person who wants to donate their kidney might match somebody else better, and vice versa, a family member from the other family can offer a kidney back.
That's good.
And we've had occasions where there's been four people in the chain where there's been started by one donor. So thank you so much for raising that issue. Sadly, during COVID, live donation was dramatically reduced because it was seen to be elective. So we're looking to grow that activity again over the next couple of years.
Good
point. So thanks very much.
Good on you, Jean.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. Somebody's rung through too, Simon. A person who doesn't want to be a donor said that you mentioned you can put your wish on a register. Yes, you mentioned that. Why can't a patient sign a written document to express their correct instructions, like on a will or something, I suppose they're saying?
So one of the really strange things about this particular activity is that the donor has died, basically. And at law, the donor doesn't have the right to choose after death. The whole point of the organ donation registry is that it's an intent document.
Yeah.
In other words, we then know what you would want. And that's one of the reasons why talking to the family is so important. Although you can register online, you can actually do a paper registration. So you can get a copy of a paper registration document.
On that same website?
Same website, or you can get it through Donate Life Western Australia, which you can find us through the WA Department website. But if you want to do it on paper, you can do that, and then it will be included in the National Registry.
Okay.
But there's an activity called Advanced Care Planning, where you plan for your future care. You're quite welcome to write in your Advanced Care Plan your wishes around organ donation. It's not binding, but at least it gives direction.
Yeah.
People know what you want. That's
it's a good system,
bit. And
it's continuing to improve. What incredible work you people do. And Simon, thank you very much indeed. Dr.
It's
Simon Taller joining us.
Lovely to be here this afternoon.
Thank you.
For centuries, the English and